Morning. Well, I have nothing to disclose. I'm sorry I can't give you some juicy information about my background, but nothing to disclose this morning. This presentation focuses on our Youth Empowerment Solutions for Peaceful Communities project. This is a project of the Prevention Research Center of Michigan, located at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. I'd particularly like to acknowledge our first author, Sarah Kretman, who really took the lead on putting this curriculum together, and my other authors, many of whom are our frontline staff who've been working with the kids for the past 4 years. Okay, now, just to wake you up a little bit. In case you weren't awake already. So, it's going. Now how do I turn it off? Whoops. Okay, well, I suppose we can turn the speakers down. I don't know why it won't stop. All the way down. So, Youth Empowerment Solutions is really all about youth empowerment. And an example of that is this logo, which was designed by our participants. This is a youth-driven project, and the curriculum that we've developed reflects that. So it's a pretty simple design here. The point of YES is to empower youth to then work with adults to change their community in order to prevent youth violence. So we work with 7th and 8th grade students, middle school students, in Flint, Michigan. If you're familiar with Flint or have heard of it, you know it's a very, very challenged community economically. It also has a lot of strengths. It was the birthplace of the UAW since the 1930s. Even though the community has a lot of struggles, there are many community activists who are committed to making change, and this is a good environment to initiate this program in. We've gotten a tremendous amount of community support. So the underlying theory for the YES program, there are really three components to it. First of all, ecological theory. Youth are a part of a much greater system of family, friends, school, their community and neighborhood. We focus on positive youth development. We know that all of these factors influence kids and the way that they grow and develop the beliefs and values that they have, their opportunities. But we also know that kids influence their environment. They influence their school, their own family, their friends, and the larger community. And that could be in positive or negative ways. And what we're really working toward is to increase the positive influence that kids have on their community in turn, to create a more positive image of youth within the community. So our goals for this project, I want to stress it's a community level project. We're not really looking at individual change in this project. We're really looking at the community level at community change, things like the physical environment, crime, fear of crime in the community. So we want to provide youth with opportunities to prevent violence and create community change. We also want to enhance the ability of neighborhood adults to work with youth in this framework. And that is very challenging. We have a training curriculum for adults, which I'm not going to cover in this presentation, but that is a critical part of this intervention. And we also want to change the physical and social environment in order to reduce and prevent youth violence. So our intervention consists of three main components. the youth empowerment activities, which are reflected in the curriculum that I'm going to talk about in more detail, the training for adult advocates, and then these community projects that involve the youth and adults working together. So to develop our curriculum, it really was we did not start out with a canned curriculum going into this program because there really aren't, we didn't find other existing youth violence curricula that focused not so much on individual change but on community change. So part of the process of this intervention was to develop the curricula. The first year we did a pilot program with a smaller number of kids and began to develop and implement our activities. In year one, we started to really document those activities as they were carried out with the kids, and we began to organize the activities into thematic units. In year two, we formalized the curriculum and began to test it with the kids. And as we began to test it, we revised it. And then finally, in year three, we completed our revisions and evaluated the curriculum with the kids. Actually, process evaluation was really going on throughout this period. So this curriculum is organized into these six units, and it's carried out over about a five-month period from January through May, through the end of the school year. The first unit focuses on youth leadership, and I should mention that the kids that we recruited into this program really ran the gamut from kids who were doing very poorly in school to kids who, you know, were already leaders in their school environment, kids who had many, many challenges in their families, kids from more stable families, so really was a cross-section. So the first unit focuses on youth as leaders. Then we begin to take the kids into a process of looking critically at their community and talking about how they can improve their community. The fourth unit, we bring the adults in and begin to build the intergenerational partnerships. The kids are and the adults go through the planning process for their projects. And then the sixth unit actually occurs while the kids are carrying out their projects and gives them a chance to look at their progress, think about what they've done, how they could improve what they've done. I should say that throughout this curriculum, we integrate cultural identity activities. The kids we are working with are all African American. Flint is a very segregated city. The public schools are virtually, you know, 98% African American students, and our kids are from that background. So we integrated these cultural activities into the curriculum, feeling that it's very important for the kids to establish a firm and positive cultural identity as part of this process. So our cultural activities are designed for African American adolescents. They could be substituted for cultural activities for any group of kids. And so in that way, I think the curriculum is very adaptable to other populations. And throughout the curriculum where there's a cultural activity, it is designated by this Sankofa symbol, which means look to the past to move into the future. So the goals of the first unit are really to develop leadership skills. The kids develop their own norms for how they're going to operate. They work on team building. They have discussions about leadership, and they talk about the goals. They develop their own goals for the project. At this point, we also have many officer positions that the kids fill, all the way from being the president to being the person that organizes, you know, special activities or fun activities. So most of the kids have some kind of leadership position. This is an example of a cultural activity that is in the leadership section where the kids learn about African American leaders. It's a matching game. The descriptions and the pictures are separated and the kids have to match them up. The second unit deals with understanding the community and develops the kids' ability to look critically at their community. We take them on windshield tours. They do a photo voice project for those of you that are perhaps not familiar with that, they take pictures and write about their pictures. We want them to focus on both assets and deficits in their community. And after they take their pictures, they discuss them, and they begin to think about what they might do to create positive change. So then, in the Unit 3, they start to develop the ideas for their projects. We want them to do this before the adults come on board, because it's very easy for the adults to take over, you know, with their own ideas and to influence the kids or push the kids in one direction or another. So before the adults come on board, we have the kids begin to develop their projects. They hear about other community change work that's gone in the community. They begin to think about what they want to do, and they complete a project proposal. And we really worked on developing this proposal. It's fairly flexible. It can be, there's a very general section of it, then there are more detailed sections, budgets, and so forth. We start out with a very general section with the kids just to get their ideas on paper. Then the next unit focuses on intergenerational partnerships. The kids actually interview the adults that want to work with them. These are neighborhood folks. They are from, many of them are members of block clubs or neighborhood associations. The kids develop the questions they want to ask them. The adults come in, they interview the adults, and they actually get to choose which adults they're going to work with. One of the things we learned early on in this program was that the kids really love working with younger adults. And in the first year or so, that was a challenge because a lot of our volunteers were retirees. But in subsequent years, we really put a lot of effort into recruiting younger adults to work with the kids, as well as as some retirees. So it was really a mixture of ages, and the kids responded very well to that. So then, after the adults come on board, they begin to elaborate their plans for their projects. So they've already got their idea, and the adults are beginning to help them now with some of the specifics. Where could we go to get donations and materials? Where could we, find someone who has the skill to do this particular building project that we want to do? Because the adults also bring skills to these projects. The kids, after all, are, 12 to 14 years old. So the adults, sometimes we've worked with adults with artistic skills, musical skills, construction skills, and these are very valuable. Another thing, once the proposals are completed, we convene a meeting of community leaders, pastors, people from the school, other people in the area, and the kids actually present their project proposals to them, which is an interesting process. Okay, so then they actually go out during the summer and complete their projects. And around the midpoint of the projects, we have a time for them to get together, think about what they're doing, what's working well, what's not, what they might want to change. And they do their projects. So here are some examples of projects that they have done. Community gardens, community art, a calendar with positive pictures of Flint, things that they think are assets, because part of the challenge for these kids, not only are they growing up in an impoverished community, they're growing up in an impoverished community that's known nationwide in many cases for being a challenged community. So these are positive images of Flint that they chose. And we also worked with a recording artist. The kids worked on a youth empowerment rap CD. You heard a little bit of that at the beginning, and we'll give you a little more taste at the end here. And so our process evaluation, we did annual questionnaires with the kids and informal feedback focus groups. I'm running out of time here, so I'm going to speed a little bit. But one of the things we were very pleased about was the activities that they chose that they liked most. And they liked all of them, but they really liked the projects. They liked interviewing the adults. They liked the active things. And this is exactly what we were hoping. And this is just another rating of the activities. One of the things that we really worked on was improving the cultural identity activities, and that's reflected that they liked those more as time went on. So kids want to have fun. I think this is a big message from this project. This is an important thing. And that's what they consistently told us. We want to have more fun. We want to have more fun. So we tried to incorporate a lot of fun into this work. And they told us initially that some things were boring. They wanted more field trips. They wanted projects. But they also really got the connection between violence prevention. One little person can have a ripple effect on the entire place. And we heard things like this consistently from the kids. So lessons learned. We realized that this curriculum needed to be designed so people who did not have formal teaching experience could carry it out. That the curriculum needed to be flexible to respond to the personal crises, things that happened in the community with the kids as time went on. The sessions really needed to be active, not didactic, not an extension of school, not too much paper and pencil work for the kids, and that we really needed to integrate the cultural identity activities throughout. So, let's see if I can get my... Turn the volume off. Oh, no. Oh, you're going to miss the last bit of the rap song here, but this is the pictures of kids working on their projects. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, I have a few reports on the project. Would like to pick one up.
Our next presenter will be Yvonne Washaleski. With a 6-month follow-up study to assess the sustainability of the domestic violence shelter screening project.